Hi, I'm Irene Fankoff.
And I'm David Hine.
And we are the writers of Come From Away at the Schoenfeld Theater.
And we're talking to Dave Lefkowitz on Dave's Gone By on UNC Radio.
Here on the Togo Theater Tony Show, very, very excited to have folks who've written one of the most popular musicals on Broadway. It's brand new. It's in contention for Best Musical as well as Book and Score. By telephone, all the way from New York, it's Irene Sankoff and David Hine, the authors of Come From Away. Well, you've come from away to talk to us here in the neighborhood. Thanks so much. How you doing?
It's our pleasure. We're doing great.
Doing awesome.
You've had musicals off-Broadway and around the country, like My Jewish Lesbian Mother's... What is it? My Mother's Lesbian Jewish Wiccan Wedding. Is that it?
Good, yeah. You got them all in the right order. It's no, barely anyone can
do. It won't happen again, but at least this time I got it in the right order. And you've had stuff in Canada. But there must be this huge difference now of having a very notable show on Broadway. What does it feel like?
Absolutely astounded. We can't believe that the feedback that we're getting, and at the same time, we're just so happy that the people of Newfoundland and the Come From Aways who shared the stories with us are getting celebrated in this way, because really, it's about them. It's really about how all of these people came together and took a very, very challenging situation and handled it beautifully and came out lifelong friends.
And what's the time frame? Like, you thought of the idea how many years ago, and how long did it take to get from your singing at a piano and writing stuff out of a guitar, and boom, you're opening on Broadway?
So we've been working on it for 6 years now. We started in 2011 when we went out to Newfoundland for the first time. There's a commemoration ceremony out there, and all of these pilots and flight crew and passengers were returning to commemorate what had happened and reunite with these friends they had made, and people had fallen in love out there. It was really amazing. And so we got a grant from the Canadian government to go out there and interview people, and we interviewed as many people as we could for hours at a time and came back with hundreds of stories. It's been this amazing journey since then of workshopping it at Sheridan College, at Goodspeed, taking it to the NAMP Festival, and then starting up with Junkyard Dog Productions and Chris Ashley. You know, this little show that we thought would never really go past Canadian high schools, taking it down to La Jolla Playhouse and Seattle Rep and Ford Theater in Washington, and then back to the Gander Community Center Hockey Rink and back to our hometown in Toronto at the Royal Alex. And then here, it's really every single day has surprised us. It's been an incredible journey.
And were there changes all throughout the process? In other words, you go and then there'd be notes overnight and throughout, and then many more notes the month after it closed before it moved on?
Yeah, absolutely. I've never worked so hard in my life.
Well, what's an example of a major change that you did between, say, the first or second draft of the show and what's up on Broadway at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater now?
The biggest change is probably that it used to be a two-act show, and our brilliant producers at one point said no one in Gander got to stop and say, you know, and sort of step back and, you know, use the washroom and get a drink and a snack and say, how's it going? How do you think everything's going? They said this was an experience that everyone started at the beginning and went straight through to the end, and it feels like that's a journey that we really take the audience on, and that was a huge thing and required cutting a little bit to get it down to 100 minutes. You know, we came back with just thousands of stories and wanted to tell them all, so what that required was compressing them and amalgamating characters and fitting it all together, because we didn't want to give up a single story. They were all so good.
I'm a playwright, too, so I empathize. And when you say, almost rather flippantly, well, that involves some cutting, and that's killing your darlings. You, as playwrights, we all know that first bit of advice is like the thing that you love most sometimes is the first thing that has to go. Was there anything that you,
Absolutely.
If there were a director's cut of the show, what would you put back in?
Oh my gosh, I'm really satisfied with the piece as it is. You know, I think if anything, it would be DVD extras about,
right. You know,
this gentleman who was in the fashion industry and his idol was stranded in Gander. He drove from the big city of St. John's to Gander for 4 hours to bring him food and clothes and stuff and try to help him. And it was Werner Baldessarini, who was the head of Hugo Boss at the time, and Mr. Baldessarini just said, hey, you know what? I'm here with these people, and they're taking terrific care of me, and I don't want to insult them. Thank you very much. Let's go have a smoke, but then I'm just going to lie down here in this cot in this gym because I came in with these people, I'm going out with these people, and, you know, it's an amazing story. It just didn't draw, it just didn't work with the rest of the piece. So, DVD extra.
We always talk about doing a Cut From Away album at some point because there's a bunch of stories and
By the way, we're talking with Irene Sankoff and David Hein. They are the authors of Come From Away. And you mentioned that 6 years ago is when the project really started. But the germ was planted on September 11th, and you guys were in New York with a bunch of friends. I guess it was a party that turned into kind of an impromptu concert?
We were actually living uptown here in New York at a residence for international graduate students. So there was people from 110 countries from around the world all taking care of each other, waiting for news, sort of coming together as a community. My cousin was in the towers, but fortunately got out. So we were all trying to find out what was happening, and in many ways it was really similar to what happened in Newfoundland, because there was this international community helping each other. But one of our friends, Cristiano, there's a lot of musicians there at the Manhattan School of Music, and he sat down at the piano and he started to play, and we all just sort of gathered around and listened. It was there was something about music that brought us together, that reminded us that we were in the same room together, that we're going through this together. And that time in New York felt very similar to Newfoundland afterwards. It's one of the reasons why we call it a 9/12 show rather than a 9/11 show, because there was so much kindness and so much good in people reaching out and trying to help and trying to give blood. And, you know, all of the divisions that normally keep us apart were gone, because we were all going through the same situation together, and we all wanted to help. We all wanted to do good in that time. And when we went out to Newfoundland, it was so apparent that it was exactly the same thing.
Now, have audience members emailed you or come up to you and given you their 9/11 or 9/12 stories?
Oh, my goodness, yes. We get stories told to us directly on the street. We get stories over email, over Facebook. I mean, I think I need 2 weeks to respond to everyone who's reached out to share their story. And I'm just so honored that they would do that. And I do want to thank them, because I think talking about what happened and what happened to people in the following days, whether it was tragic or whether it was finding a new love or you know, quitting your job and getting a new job, whatever it is, I think it's worth talking about, because I think it heals us. I mean, communication heals us just the way theater heals us. Just opening this door to talk, you know, and I'm obviously not a therapist or anything, but I'm happy to hear stories and thank people for sharing it.
Speaking of love, you guys met, fell in love when you were both students at York University. Where you weren't theater people. You were going for more, shall we say, normal jobs.
Well, it was the first year of theater. We both went to the theater school. Yeah, it was the first day of university. Irene ended up with a degree in creative writing and psychology, and I ended up with a degree in set and lighting design. And then Irene went on to do her master's in acting down here in New York, and I followed her down because I was in love with her. And we've been together a long time. I think there's something about being a husband and wife team. We talk about this a lot. Just that it's not for the faint of heart. Your work and your life are constantly married to each other. But at the same time, we have so much history together. It really preps you for conflict resolution and for working things out and for trying to not just find her plan A and my plan B, but finding our plan C. At the end of the day, I can't imagine working with anyone who you don't love completely and trust completely and are completely honest with each other. It's the best thing in the world.
Since you are married, I mean, unlike Comden and Green and some of the other writers who clock in 9 to 5 and then they go home and have other lives, do you guys have a writing schedule where you work, and then, boom, at a certain hour, you stop and just become husband, wife, and parents, you have a kid? Or is it always 9:30 at night, someone has an idea, and you run to the piano?
I don't work so well on a schedule, but I do try, like, as soon as my daughter walks in the door, to say we're done. Like, we are not doing anything else until she's off in bed. And if one of us has to do work, because it does happen and this is life, then, you know, we try to not do it in front of her. One of us will go away and one of us will stay with her. We prioritize her a fair bit. So we're slower than we used to be in our productivity, that's for sure.
Let me ask, you came from different musical tastes. One of you is more of a folky, or was, and the other was raised more on show tunes. So that certainly helped the sound and the feel of Come From Away. But do you butt heads over that?
I don't think so. I mean, what's been so good has been sharing it with each other. So, yes, I'm a folky. I'm still a folky. My mom used to take me to folk festivals and play guitar as opposed to piano. And I grew up on Newfoundland music. So when we went out there, we actually had this conversation about whether it should be a musical or not, about whether Come From Away was more like Laramie or like 6 Degrees of Separation or something like that. And I said, Irene, just wait. We went to this benefit concert out there where one of my favorite Newfoundland bands was playing. Everyone everyone started dancing, and it's this amazing, traditional, authentic, real music that somehow gets everyone, the locals that come from away, the executives in their suits, you know, everyone starts swinging each other around, and Irene was like, yeah, it's a musical, and it's built into the DNA of the people out there, so it was really great for me to be able to share my love of Newfoundland music with Irene, and at the same time, she took me to Rent for the first time, and like shared her entire musical collection with me, and I don't think I'm anywhere near caught up with her, but we would drive for 12 hours from Toronto to New York to see shows, and we would listen to every cast album on the way down and sing along, and so it's been really amazing each sharing our different loves with each other, and then eventually getting to combine them together and come from away.
Well, Irene, what are the musicals that you were raised on? Do you have like two or three favorite all-time tuners?
Oh my gosh, let's see. I'm so excited about Once on This Island coming back to Broadway. That was one of my favorites when I was a teenager, and I never got to see it because I lived in Canada, so I'm really excited about that. I absolutely loved Les Miserables. I'm a big Avenue Q fan. I mean, there's not much that I that I don't like. I wish I could say I was more discriminating, but I love stuff that is quirky and fun, like Great American Trailer Park musical. And then I love to delve into Sondheim and just listen to it over and over again and just learn each time, hearing something different each time, something different resonating with me. So, yeah, I'm a big old musical theater junkie for sure.
And certainly your musical, both of yours, Come From Away, is resonating for viewers at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater. Another quick question or two for Irene Sankoff and David Hine. First of all, I should mention congratulations. You won the Drama Desk Award for
Thank you.
Best Musical and Book and Score. Did you pre-prepare speeches for that, or do you not do that? Was that like jinxing it?
We haven't talked about this with anybody. So I am a big pre-preparer of speeches, and Irene is a big winger of speeches, and we meet somewhere in between, and it becomes a little bit of a car crash, but it is the best.
Well, you have a good shot on tomorrow night, on Sunday at the Tony Awards, of winning. So how are you going to handle that?
We're going in having already won so much. I mean, we never set out to write a Broadway musical. We set out to write a show that the people we interviewed would be proud of, that they could sit in the audience and feel honored and be celebrated. And we wanted to share Newfoundland with the world, and we're getting to, and share our experience there. So like, that's already such a huge win, and to have worked with such incredible people like Chris Ashley and Kelly Devine and Junkyard Dog Productions, that feels like it's been such a good experience. And we just came back from casting our second company up in Toronto, where we've got a tour announced. The show is doing so well that we're going in, and our entire company feels this way. It's just been such a good experience, and every stop has been amazing, that we're just so thankful to be part of this season, which we would, if we weren't living down here, even if we didn't have a show, we would have traveled here and all of our money going to see every single one of the shows, which is exactly what we're doing right now. Sunday is going to be a celebration of so many things.
Congratulations, certainly, on the awards you've already gotten. Congratulations, and certainly best of luck. As you said, whether you win a Tony or not, it's getting there. It's having a hit show. It will be a hit the way it's selling on Broadway. That's pretty amazing and major. Well, you've got to be so busy with Come From Away. Are you working on anything else that you can talk about?
We're tossing ideas back and forth, but we're actually going back out to work on My Mother's Lesbian Jewish Wiccan Wedding. We're going to take another look at it this summer. It's actually a true story about David's mom rediscovering her faith and discovering her sexuality and getting married, and David being raised by two women in Canada. And it's set against a backdrop of the same-sex marriage movement and equality. And so we want to go back in and take another look at that, because that feels very timely right now. So that's probably where our focus is going to land next.
And any other projects also for other media?
We have a couple of irons in the fire, and there's been certainly some TV and film interest, like I mentioned, the tour and the second company, and hopefully more. Getting to share more Come From Away with the world is a dream.
Well, it's been a dream talking to Irene Sankoff and David Hine, the authors of Come From Away on Broadway. Again, best of luck in this show and in all the future shows that you're working on, and congratulations no matter what.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you so much.